Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with me on this beautiful Saturday morning, September the 2nd, 2017. I'm there. Sometimes I lose it. A little bit here, a little bit there, but it ain't so bad. Anyway, I'm very grateful to be with you. We're going to be looking at questions people have all the time about enlightenment, and we'll talk about it. I want to remind you as you listen to this radio program is if you maybe go to the website at aspire.org and peruse the old TV programs and the radio programs and all that is there to serve you and humankind, that these are supported solely and entirely upon your tax-deductible gifts, your donations make this all possible. And I want to thank those of you who have become sponsors. We need many more to sustain our program, and I hope that you will find the Aspire program here, this radio program, and my video casts and my TV programs worthy of your support. And if so, I hope you will go to the website at aspire.org. That's aspire.org. There you will see in the middle of the page support. And if you pull that down, that little menu, you will see a submenu and it will say, why support Aspire? It's a very good question. Go take a look. We explain everything that we do and where your donations go. And you can become an Aspire sponsor right there. And there's lots of gifts that you get for being a sponsor. The message of the month, access to all of my TV program CDs that I did over the, 25, 30 years that I've been on TV. And as well as all of that, you will get the podcast, video cast, commentaries for each month. There's a lot there. And it will keep you hopefully very, very busy, insightful, working upon yourself. And that's what it's about, to serve humankind in the most unique and most loving way. I'm very honored. aspire.org. Go take a look. Enlightenment. What is enlightenment? What is it? What are we talking about here? Everybody wants to be enlightened, as it were. So this idea of enlightenment has to do with the idea, I think, of people believing that they will know the meaning of life and they will have some sort of dominion or control over the meaning of life. And that's not really what it's all about. Not at all. I have been around some very interesting people who were very much enlightened. And I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt that it's none of the things any of us in our pedestrian mentality can understand. It's a whole different world. And yet, the interesting thing about these people is that if you saw them walking down the street or you were to talk to them, you would never know. You would absolutely never know. These are people who chop wood, carry water. They do their daily chores just like you and I. And they do the things that human beings do. They eat, they poop, they pee, they sleep. They do everything we do. They just do it from a different place. So I always get these questions about what is enlightenment, and here we go. The first one comes from Craig in Seattle. Are any of your students enlightened, Greg? I listen to you, and I wonder, are they? If not, why? Is it because you are not enlightened? Craig. Craig, I don't know what your definition of enlightened is. I really don't. So how can I understand what you're saying? How can I really answer your question? Enlightenment, what is it? Well, it is a state of being, a state of inner being where a person has attained beyond a spiritual knowledge and has the capacity to cease the whole operation of birth and death. It is a place, an understanding, an insight, a beauty that has nothing at all to do with philosophy or belief or religion. I do not pump my students with knowledge. Knowledge is a barrier. It is never a bridge to awakening. So, I don't know what you mean by, are any of your students enlightened? I would say they have tinges of it, very dim tinges of it. They kind of mess around with it, but they don't fully engage it. And the reason is they don't want to lose their hold their human mind and human ideals have upon them. They're not willing to make that kind of sacrifice. They're afraid they'll lose everything. There's a lot of superstition, Craig, around the whole idea of awakening and spiritual birth, inner birth. It has a lot to do with the idea that, you're going to be so wise and so whatever that you'll lose your friends and your family, your job. I hear this all the time. You're going to lose your job. You won't be able to survive. Blah, 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 blah. All this kind of crazy stuff. And none of that is true. Absolutely none. I have met Muktananda when he was in his body. I met Nisargadatta, the Maharaj. I met Rajneesh. I met Sai Baba. I met Krishnamurti. It really doesn't matter at all what their outer life is. It's their inner life that mattered. So you ask me, are any of my students enlightened? No. And if not, why? Because they're afraid to be. They're absolutely afraid. They're afraid they're going to lose the things that make them human, and they like being human. They like the suffering, the pain, the sorrow. They're used to it. It's what their genetics and their DNA are constantly pumping towards them. So whatever it is that they're doing in the course of a day or in dealing with their life, they kind of have this exalted belief and idea that they're not going to enjoy their life and have fun anymore and yada, yada, yada. Even though their lives aren't fun, even though they are dying, they still don't go towards awakening. I have one student right now who is beginning the process of leaving her body. And you would think that now would be the time to turn it on. But you see, after years and years and years of abuse, you can't do it. The mind is clinging. The emotions are clinging to the body. You ask me, is it because of me that they're not enlightened? No one stands in the way of enlightenment. No one. No human being can ever do that. And if you were one of my students, you would see that I've done everything I can to help them. And you are saying, in essence, they're not enlightened because I'm not a good teacher or I'm not enlightened. How do you know? You're asking me to proclaim enlightenment. I won't do that. Because no one who is awakened would ever do that. I don't think in terms of those kinds of things. I don't think in terms of enlightenment or non-enlightenment or whatever. I am working upon my own inner sense, my own awakening. I have duality to deal with, just like you. And all awakened people have this. Everybody has to keep working on it. It doesn't just come and then it stays. There's lots of inner work to do, lots of inner awakening work to do, service to humankind. The enlightened person doesn't really know they're enlightened. The enlightened person does not claim enlightenment. So, you know, I'm going to tell you right off the bat, Craig, I'm not enlightened. And I don't have a problem with that. I don't. But maybe I am. And maybe I don't know it. Maybe you are. And maybe you don't know it. Why worry about such silly things in the course of a lifetime? If you stay the course of your heart, you meditate, you practice, you give service to humankind, you do everything that is possible to let love live through you, let love live you, now you're into something quite beautiful, quite meaningful. Now you're allowing the breath of spirit to bring divinity into your life. You don't have to change your world to awaken. You have to change your inner life to awaken. And that is a very beautiful thing to do, a very noble thing to do. Maybe that'll help, Craig. I hope it does. Enjoy the TV programs as you have talked about here in your email. I'm very grateful. Please forgive me. Namaste. Oh, how we are, hey, you know. Next one comes from Candy in Detroit. That's a long ways away. I meditate a couple of times a week and still nothing seems to be happening. What am I doing wrong, Candy? Well, Candy, I don't know what you're doing wrong. I don't know what you call meditation. It could be that what you're practicing has nothing to do with meditation at all. And that is typical of a lot of us. We think our practice is about, having these, what are guided meditations where we do imagery work. I do very little of that. And I don't endorse that all the time because it doesn't help the process of what needs to happen as we awaken. Meditation takes everyday practice every single day, not a couple of times a week. It's not like a chore that you do when you feel like it or when you feel like you need to do that chore. It has nothing to do with that at all. Meditation is a way of life. You practice the formal sit in meditation. My students all practice a formal sit. I give them Tibetan pulsing meditations that are extremely effective and deeply significant. They practice them. And then they are asked to make a way of life. How do you support it? You watch your breath. You do things consciously, mindfully. You eat your dinner, your lunch, your breakfast. You make it consciously. You clean your home consciously. You go to work consciously. You are seeking not to be better than or to have some revelation that you think you need in your life or that will make your life better. That's not meditation at all. No, you are looking for the inner state of being, of attaining to an insight, to a beautiful awareness, and you make that awareness your way of life. You don't sit and watch TV and allow your life to kind of wash down the toilet with other people's ideas of entertainment and manipulation and marketing you. You live consciously. You live in awareness. You live in playfulness. You live in humility, above all, humility. Go look at my series on the Beatitudes. I think you'll find that very helpful. In fact, all of my series on the Aspire website, Passing Through the Fires is a very big one, where we have to learn how to move through the fires of love and rid ourselves of the things that take away from the very essence of what it is to awaken spiritually. You seem to want something to happen. You seem to think that something is supposed to happen. To live an ordinary life, to live a simple life, is what's happening. The blessing is in the journey, not in some destination. And I know you've heard that, you know, from other people probably 100 million times, but it is true. We live in consciousness. When we live in consciousness, we live in life. We live in meaning. We live in substance. We awaken. You want something to happen? I don't know what it is you would want. Don't you have everything here right now? Isn't everything just perfect? Because everything is happening just the way it can happen. It can't happen any differently than the way it is happening in this moment, in this very moment. And if I start to realize that this is a very perfect life that I'm in, then I don't need anything to happen. And that's what meditation will bring you to. It's a discipline. Candy, it's a discipline. You have to really work at it, and you have to change your life. No, not your outer life, your inner life. You have to change the way you live inwardly with yourself. And should you start to understand the nature of that and the beauty of that, you will start to unfold on your own. And the things that are happening around you will become more beautiful, more intense. They will become obvious. You won't need more to happen. Why would you need more? It is less that we need, less of Greg's involvement in his own life, his little fingers getting in there and trying to manipulate and make things happen and want things to be different. None of that will help him. None of that will help you either. What really helps is to know the way of the heart. And the way of the heart is the everything of our living. You are the way of the heart. And should that moment come where it becomes more important to you to know the way of your heart than the way of your thinking, the way of your genetics, your DNA, you're going to find, oh my gosh, everything that I need is happening right now. Everything that I can perceive that is perfection is happening now. Everything is occurring just as it needs to occur. And that's very important. Everything's occurring just the way it needs to occur. It is so beautiful. This life is so beautiful. We are the ones that make it ugly with our perceptions, our beliefs, our ideas, and our ideals. We make it ugly. So you ask me, I meditate a couple of times a week and still nothing seems to be happening. Don't worry about that. It is happening. And you need to up your meditation and you need to make sure you're doing something that it quiets the mind. Quiets the emotions. You need to be living in a different manner. The whole manner of our living has to be around meditation, not trying to make something happen. You're not rubbing a lamp and getting a genie when you meditate. The first thing that happens is you start to become orderly in your life, and you start to take what should have been first in your life and keep it first, and what we have made first, which should have been the last, your whole demeanor must change. You have to want what's happening now. There's so many things I could say, none of which would help you right now. So I'm not going to go into all that, but I am going to say this. Up your meditation time. Practice. Build your life around emptiness. You will find something very definitely happening, something quite magnificent. Please forgive me, Candy. Thank you for listening. Namaste. And the last question. This comes from John in Northern California. That's what he says. How can I get enlightened? Can you give it to me? John. John, dear heart, no one can give you enlightenment. No one. No one can bestow upon you this awakening. No one. The awakening that you seek, the awakening of love, the awakening of your heart, this occurs because you are there consciously. You are working upon yourself consciously. So it has to do not with someone giving it to you, but nurturing it yourself, making time for meditation, practicing it, and then living it through loving kindness, unconscionable generosity, forgiveness. To be generous means to be forgiving. To be generous means to be devoted. To be generous means to have mercy. These are things, these are elements of awakening. But we won't have them, and we can't understand them nor appreciate them until we are willing to see the bigger picture of our life, the bigger picture of our being. So, no, I cannot give it to you. If I could, if I really could, I would do it in a heartbeat. I really would. I would do it and give it to you and be so grateful that I had that honor. I try to teach my students how to understand the awakening process, the things they will have to let go of, the things they fear, the things they dislike. I work very diligently with them on that. But it's very hard for them to grasp it because they are so busy in their life, in their own mischief. They make it very hard for themselves to awaken in any process. They have to let go. They have to realize the bigger picture and that we are here to end a birth and death. And that is a good life. A good life is not having everything I want. It is ending the process of birth and death. So few can do it. So few are willing. But this is the way of the heart and the way of the being. And it means living our life in compassion and love. So no, I wish I could. I really do, John. But I can't, so I don't even try, if you know what I mean. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. I love that. That was cute. Anyway, I'm on my way out here. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for your questions, my questioners. I'll be back on the air tomorrow morning. I hope you will join me as we take a look at what is essential in our life. Have a beautiful day. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.